Justin Kin and Jack Snead were nervously waiting for their boss Amanda Oak in their research lab. Both men were well over 80 years old, but currently they both looked about 36 years old. Due to a happy accident in the lab just 20 years ago, both men had been regressed back into two teenagers. The accident had claimed one fatal victim. The same young man who made the discovery, and he realized too late what it would mean for the world at large. Later he attempted to destroy all knowledge of it. Some of the data had been recovered, but it wasn't enough to make more of the gas. Alvin Porter had argued with his older partners and a fight broke out. The result was a puncture leak in the only tank of the dangerous R1 gas. The lab was sealed off, and end result was two old men back to being hormone-driven teenagers once more, while Alvin Porter's clothes were found empty on the floor. Miss Oak came into the room with a woman beside her to see that Mr. Snead had a lump on the back on his head, and Justin looked almost sheepish. Because of the first accident, they had become company property even if they didn't know it. They were given new places to live and the company kept them on the payroll. Gentlemen, I understand that after 2 decades of trying to recover all of the old research, and not to mention the funding plus the years you two spent working on this project, has gone to waste. So tell me, how is that Alina Porter, the daughter of Alvin Porter, has made off with the only sample of the rediscovered gas in a mini air tank? 29-year-old Miss Oak asked very sternly. She knocked me out and took the AR-1 air tank, but she didn't get the reaction agent, Mr. Snead said, waving a hand toward another mini air tank with a breathing mask attached to it, secured in a see-through cabinet. Yes, what good is the reaction agent since it only works on subjects already exposed to the original gas? Besides making our test animals young again and keeping you two from reaching 40 years old again. After the accident with her father, I thought we had security measures in place, Mrs. Oak asked, now rounding on Mr. Kin. Well, she used my key card to get out. Somehow she knew hers would lock her out once she rediscovered her father's finished work, Mr. Kin said quietly, if he was talking to a very stern teacher with a ruler in her hand. And how did she get your key card? Did she pickpocket it off the front of your lab coat, Miss Oak asked, seeing his ID was absent from his front pocket without a scratch on him. Company policy was strict, you had to wear it at all times. No, I'd rather not say how she got it, Mr. Kin said, now rallying himself up. He was too important to the company for them to lock him away in prison or fire him from the company. Mr. Kin, I am well aware of your lack of control with your manhood. Is it possible this isn't the first time she has stolen your ID to gain access? Maybe she also accessed the sealed computer records. Oh, let's just say the video footage of the original accident, Mrs. Oak asked, and she knew this theory of hers was very true. She had checked the records and confirmed it. Because of the work, they didn't have security guards and were dependent on their security system. The computer log showed someone with Mr. Kin's ID came in during the middle of the night the day before. I suppose it is possible she stole it when I was asleep, Mr. Kin said, embarrassed. He had been seduced and used like many of the women in his life. If you two were not so important to the research, I would have you arrested for acts of terrorists and in front of a firing squad. Not only has one of the greatest discoveries in human history has slipped through your hands once, but twice now. You two are under house arrest and will wait here just in case Miss Porter returns. I already rigged the IDs to let anyone in, but not out. Only your military guards will come and go to bring you food. The guards will stay out of sight in the woods and wait. I understand there are some comfortable cots in the back and a bathroom with shower stalls, Miss Oak said, and she turned away from the men. 25-year-old Stacy Walker followed her out, looking like a soldier following her commander. They passed through hallways and went to an expensive-looking office. The office was clean, with black leather as a theme on the sofa and chairs. Have a seat, Miss Walker, Miss Oak said, taking her own seat behind the desk with a computer that cost more than a car. Thank you, Stacy Walker said, taking a seat, but looking like she could spring into action at any second. Those idiots have made a mess of the matter. I hired you because of two reasons only, You're a woman, so you can think like our subject, and you're the best female profiler our country has trained. I have already briefed you on the age regression gas. To think we could wipe out all cancer and diseases worldwide. Our greatest minds and leaders could live on for decades, leading the world into a new paradise. Now everything hinges on you recovering the AR-1 tank or Alina Porter before either one falls into someone else's hands. Remember, even if the gas has escaped the tank, we can scrap what is left from the tank's insides. Something that didn't occur to the people in charge of the original AR-1 tank. Ms. Oak said, handing over a company employee folder next. I understand, madam. You understand that my security clearance also covers any other top secret information. If there is anything else I should know that is not included in this file. Miss Walker said, taking the folder and glancing over it. It's all there, Mrs. Walker. Miss Porter lost her mother at a young age. The company set her up with some foster parents and paid for everything. It was our hope she would follow in her father's footsteps. Of course, we took steps to lead her in that direction as well. When she applied for colleges, we stepped in again and offered to pay for everything. There was only one condition to the contract. She would come and work for us when she was finished. You will see in the record she finished high school while still learning how to drive a car. Since she is so fresh out of college and inexperienced in the real world, we hope to track her down quickly. Police are under strict orders to capture her alive and call us if the nerve gas tank has been located. Miss Oak explained as Stacy browsed through the folder, taking in all the details. I assume you have people monitoring her foster parents' home and her apartment. So I will head over to her apartment and track down any friends or ex-boyfriends she once had. I will be in touch when I find something. Miss Walker said, leaving the folder on the desk as she got up to leave. Good luck. Miss Oak said, getting up herself to shake hands with the woman. Miss Oak. I don't depend on luck. Miss Walker said and shook her hand, then left the room. Stacy left the building as doors now controlled by Miss Oak opened before her. Once outside the building, Stacy pulled out her cell phone to call a friend of hers. Thanks to her training and her good friend, Stacy's phone was untraceable now. Alex, it's me. I need all the information you can give me on an Alina Porter. She works for a company called Vanguard. Be careful when you are poking around. I have a feeling this is some major top secret shit. Stacy said quickly, careful to keep her hand over her lips just in case someone could read lips. Do you think the company Vanguard is hiding something? Alex asked back as computer keys could be heard in the background. Everyone has something to hide. I need to know everything about Alina Porter. Any living family members, friends, and any place she could use as a bullet hole. Pull up her phone records and see if you can get a trace on her cell phone. Stacy said, getting into her car and set her phone on the dash as the built-in GPS system now transferred the call to the internal speakers of her car. Her foster parents live a few states away and it appears someone is tapping the phone line. How much do you want to bet there is a black van outside their house with a handyman logo on the side? Alex said, pulling up the first bits of information on his computers. A sucker's bet. She won't risk going there. I'm heading over to her apartment now. What about friends? Stacy asked, now driving down the road. Hardly any calls to them and none in the past few weeks. I will leave some watchdog programs running just in case they get any mysterious calls or texts on their phones. It's the same with old boyfriends. Her love life almost doesn't exist. Alex said, currently looking through credit card records of a boy who once dated their target. Come on, Alex, I need you to use those Jedi mind powers already. Stacy said, needing something to go on. There is something, but it's odd. Alex said, now looking over the last credit card records of their subject. Tell me or I will embarrass you at the shooting range with our handguns again. Stacy said, still driving. Well, she purchased a lot of coffee from a Starbucks inside a hospital for the past few months. I checked the records and there are no family members even related to her staying there. Maybe she has a boyfriend there no one knows about. I will keep looking and Stacy, I can still outshoot you with my rifle. Alex said, and more typing could be heard the entire time he spoke. Just like a man to need a scope to hit a target. Stacy teased. She could fire a handgun and hit her target hundreds of yards away at a moment's notice. Stacy knew she couldn't make a headshot with a rifle like Alex could. Speaking of my rifle and places to fire it off, when are you coming back to the ranch? Alex teased, and Stacy could almost see his devilish grin. Business before pleasure, and not until this job is done, Alex. I will stay in touch. Stacy said and closed her phone to end the call. She placed the phone in its holder, then switched on the CD player. Johnny Cash's sweet deep voice came over the car speakers a few seconds later as he sang the song When the Man Comes Around with the Bible verses in it. Stacy thought about her father who died in a hospital bed after a high-speed car chase ended wrong a decade ago. During those last few hours he had left to live, he read the Bible to her. Stacy did her best to understand it all and went to church from time to time when her cases got real bad. Stacy still couldn't understand it all just yet, but she was trying to learn. Stacy remembered herself being very young and on the verge of becoming a teenager at the time. The one thing that stuck with her more than anything was when she asked about all the evil in the world. She was referring to bad men in the world that took fathers away from their daughters at the time. Maybe the angels need a sharp sword too. Stacy, whatever you do in life, do your best to help people. You can be a cop like me or become a doctor like your mother was. It's your choice to pick out your own destiny. Become that sharp sword, her father said, and mentioned something about taking a nap. Stacy cried when the machine started beeping and alarms went off. She was rushed out of the room only to hear later while she waited with her grandmother that her father had passed away. Stacy almost missed her turn and pulled up to the apartment complex. She noticed the white van off to the side with its dark tinted windows and rolled her eyes at it. Amateurs, Stacy muttered to herself, seeing the lawn service logo on the side. All of the employees were wearing nice clean outfits with hardly any stains on their clothes while they were working on bushes and planting flowers. If Stacy had been in charge of the operation, she would have got some used dirty outfits and thrown in a few Mexican-looking agents. None of the men had the deep tan of working outdoors all the time. As Stacy walked past some of the workers, she could make out the flesh-color earpieces in their ears. All of them screamed former military or marine, judging from their movements as they worked. Stacy almost wished one of them would stop her or mistake her for the target. There was some new Aikido moves she wanted to try out. After they had a good look at her, none of them approached her. Stacy decided she didn't want to be stopped on her way out from the apartment. No doubt they had set up a pen camera in the hallway or inside the apartment by now. Really? White, no 10 men working for a lawn service. Miss Oak hired me to find Miss Porter. Don't get in my way when I'm leaving, Stacy said, stopping by a man apparently trimming a rose bush by the front door. Stacy didn't wait for an answer, but she saw the man resisting the urge to look at his boss in the van. Stacy went up to the apartment she remembered from the employee folder Miss Oak had. Using a lock-picking trick from a boyfriend, she entered the apartment. It was cleaner than she suspected, and there was a small stack of mail on the floor as she came in. Stacy glanced about and knew that Miss Porter didn't come home recently. Stacy snooped about and even looked in the fridge, then the freezer. The pictures on the wall were few and showed only her foster parents. Something about the smiles told her that Alina wasn't really happy. Unlike her foster parents, who looked overjoyed to have a smart, bright young girl. Stacy went from room to room and found little until she reached the master bedroom. It was in the bedroom attached to the dresser mirror she saw a hospital brochure about volunteering. It had a schedule on it and looked worn down on the corners. Stacy left the apartment and waited till she was on the staircase before calling Alex again. No luck on the cell phone trace, Alex said without saying hello first. Alex, I just found a brochure about volunteer work at that hospital you mentioned earlier. Is the hospital called Sisters of Mercy? Stacy asked, keeping her voice down just in case someone else was on the staircase. Yeah, and I just got an update for you. A police call just came in. Someone matching our subject just kidnapped a patient from there. Apparently she walked out with another young woman, Alex said as he was turning down the audio on a police scanner. Any chance I can catch her? Stacy asked. No one saw which direction they went. From what I can tell, they snuck out. Maybe you should try a few local hotels, Alex said, trying to tap into a satellite so he could get image feed from above. The view was cloudy when he looked back through the images. What is the health status of the second woman? Stacy asked, getting an idea why Alina risked everything to take her. Dying. Suffering from some type of aggressive cancer. Don't tell me you're tracking down another female serial killer, Alex asked. No, let's just say she might need a test subject. What can you find out about the friend? Stacy asked and came back outside. The so-called lawn care service workers were now on break off to the side of the building. Get this, she went to the same college together. It's a good chance they are old friends. If she was there visiting Abby Bell during visiting hours, it explains the coffee purchases and no phone records, Alex said, not asking what the second woman could be testing. Right. Look into older records on both women. See if there is any connections, Stacy said, jumping back into her car. Okay, but it's going to take a little time. I will call you back, Alex said, and Stacy heard him hang up the phone. Stacy thought she was hot on the heels of Alina Porter. Stacy drove back to the hotel where she could rest or eat some quick takeout. Stacy went to sleep on the bed only to be waken up by an early phone call from her cell. Alex, the sun isn't even up yet, Stacy complained the moment she picked up the phone. Sorry, but I've been doing research all night. Turns out Alina and Abby are old college roommates. Do you think they showered together? Alex asked, if having a fantasy about two women in a steaming shower room. Focus, Alex, Stacy said sternly as she got up from the bed. Everything outside the windows was caught in a dull gray light just before sunrise. Sorry, I have been up too long. I got a theory. I think Abby was like a big sister to Alina in college. Makes sense, since Alina was barely driving a car when she entered college. Judging from her test scores, she was smarter than a lot of the teachers. You are going to love this next bit. Alina filed a lawsuit against her dentist a few months later, and Abby was listed as a witness. Apparently, Abby walked in on the dentist when he had his hand under Alina's shirt. Worst of all, Alina had been going to the same dentist since she was a child. Short story, Abby assaulted the dentist, and later on charges were brought up against the dentist, Alex said, and Stacy heard him yawn. Are you telling me that it is possible Alina had been sexually abused for nearly her entire life without knowing it? Stacy said, her mind waking up fully now. Yeah. The charges were dropped because Alina couldn't testify since she was knocked out at the time. The dentist is still in practice, but his new office is much smaller and it's adults only, since the court judge politely suggested to him to stay away from children. I have a copy of the transcripts in front of me now, Alex answered. Alex, I need the address of the dentist and his office. Alina could be out for revenge, Stacy ordered as she was pulling on her clothes. I will upload the addresses to your GPS. Also, I think I have her bullet hole. Turns out Abby once owned a house a little bit off in the woods. At the moment it's abandoned because Abby was in the hospital. It's further out, so we will make that your last stop, Alex said, and more computer keyboard keys could be heard. Okay, Alex, get some sleep. I will come back to the ranch soon, Stacy promised and hung up the phone. When she started her car up, there were already three new addresses in her GPS system. Stacy saw that Alex already selected the closest location. Stacy drove for the dentist's office first. When she arrived, it was just past 7:30 a.m. and the office hours showed they opened at 8:00 a.m. Stacy went up to the door and found it slightly open. Peering inside, she saw no one about. Stacy entered the dentist's office with her gun at the ready. The bell overheard tinkled as she entered. So much for surprise, Stacy muttered to herself. FBI. Stacy called out and pulled out the fake badge saying she did belong to the FBI that dangled from a chain necklace. There was no answer and Stacy felt a chill run up her spine. Stacy found the secretary out cold just by her chair. Two neat burn marks were in her chest where the neck and body connect. Taser. Stacy muttered and then went from room to room to check them. Stacy opened up the last door and it was a very small office. There was a sound like a small gurgling noise and Stacy came around the desk in the office to find a little three-month-old baby nearly buried in adult clothes for a dentist. Doctor smile, I presume. Stacy said, remembering the sign outside. He even had the name legally changed, judging from his nameplate on his desk and the licenses on the wall. Stacy put away her gun and tucked her badge away. The baby boy gurgled some more and kicked his legs as his arms moved in a fussy way. Okay, doc. Stacy said, getting the idea. She carefully picked him up and out of his clothes. Stacy had a nasty little idea of her own. Stacy carried him out of the office and to the temporary knocked-out body of the secretary. One-handed, Stacy unbuttoned the top buttons of the woman's blouse, then used a handy as a spring knife to cut the woman's bra away. The woman was young and beautiful. Stacy then moved the clothing away so now her breasts were bare to the world. Here you go, doc. Your favorite type of woman. Completely unaware you are touching her. Stacy said, putting the little baby on top of the woman's bare chest so his head rested on her right breast. Judging from his eyes and the way he stared at the naked woman, Stacy didn't doubt he understood every word she said. Maybe you should suck her nipples. If you are lucky, she will be your new mommy, Stacy said, and left the office knowing any minute now the first appointment would arrive or the secretary would wake up with a suckling infant on her chest. So Alina had come already, and judging the time, they had just missed each other. Stacy didn't bother with the dentist's home. She drove straight for Abby's house now. It was out and away from any highway in town. Trees and fields surrounded the house. Stacy saw the two-story house and noticed right away it was an old farmhouse. In a pinch, it would make a good place to hide. Stacy pulled up behind another car in the driveway, and when she got out of her car, she checked the hood of the first car. The hood was warm and Stacy heard the engine tick a few times. Stacy looked up as a figure came to the second-story window and she saw Alina looking down at her with a scared look. Stacy ran for the front door and found it unlocked. Upon entering the house, it was freezing cold because someone had turned up the AC to full. Stacy went up the stairs and saw something that made her heart drop. The hallway on the second floor was rigged with wires and Home Depot buckets filled with homemade explosives. Stacy saw there was enough to blow this house into the next state. Alina Porter. My name is Stacy Walker. I have come to take you in, or at the very least the AR-1 tank you stole. I have been to the dentist's office so I know what it does. I know everything about you and your father's work. Stacy said, getting close to the open door at the end of the hall with care while giving the other doors a quick glance. Come to the main bedroom at the end of the hall. I'm unarmed and suggest you don't shoot. The entire house is rigged to blow. Alina answered and Stacy heard sadness in the tone. Stacy entered the bedroom to see Alina holding a dead man's switch and the AR-1 mini air tank in her hands. Alina, we can talk this out. Stacy said, putting away her gun. Even if she was tempted to put a bullet between the girl's eyes, she saw the mercury trigger and if someone was to knock it over, the bombs would go off anyway. Stacy couldn't hope to shoot then grab the trigger at the same time. Stacy's eyes looked over the room then looked calm as she stared at Alina. Stacy noticed there was a body on the bed covered by a sheet. She refused my help. My best friend in the world, and she told me she was ready to die. Alina said, seeing where Stacy's eyes had looked. Abby Bell. Friend of mine had a theory she was like a big sister to you. Stacy said, falling back on her training. First she had to gain her trust. Yeah. Looked out for me in college and later on. I was pretty young when I went. You know that already. I told her about the AR-1 gas and told her that both of us could use it. You see, I think of Abby as my real family. I was planning to make myself into a little girl and Abby into a young teenager again. We could have run away together as a mother and daughter, Alina said, and Stacy noticed how red her eyes looked. Why did she refuse the AR-1 gas? Stacy asked, now curious. She said it was unnatural for her to cheat death. She asked me to find another person least deserving and give them a second chance at life. Dr. Smile came to my mind almost at once. I think she wanted me to forgive him and move on with my life, Alina answered, noticing there was no other people coming. Alina expected to hear sirens and or an entire Special Forces team stomping up the steps. Alina, I don't mind you change the doctor into a helpless baby. He had that coming if you ask me. My job was to bring you back with a mini air tank. I can leave with the tank and claim you got away. I can't shoot you if I'm holding the tank and the trigger, Stacy said eagerly to get her hands on the trigger to all the bombs. Even if I let go of the trigger, it's on a time delay. You would have a 3 minutes head start. I'm sorry, the only sample of AR-1 must be destroyed. Do you know about Project Empty House? Alina asked, seeing that the woman before her was very smart to track her down in less than 24 hours. No, but I do have a friend looking into Vanguard very carefully, Stacy answered, wanting to keep the woman talking. With the AC on full blast and the dead body on the bed, the house felt like a morgue. I bet you Miso gave you the story about helping humanity and leading the world into a new paradise. Using a stolen ID, I managed to look further into the computer files. Miso doesn't know it, but I also got access to her computer, which wasn't easy. There was a military project by the name of Empty House. Imagine if they put my father's AR-1 gas into a missile and send that same missile over a Middle Eastern city with a heavy population. The missile would release the gas over the city and nearly everyone in the city would regress back into nothing. The lucky ones might end up as babies or young children, but beyond that an entire city would be empty of people, Alina said, seeing she might be able to reason with Stacy. I can see what you mean. No damage to the buildings and no fighting force left to oppose us. Even China wouldn't stand a chance because we could just blanket them with the gas too, Stacy said, seeing the dangers of the gas. There is something even worse to consider. What if this gas is released in the middle of Washington, D.C.? Maybe terrorists or someone within our government who wants to take full control. Maybe another Hitler who would rule us with an iron fist for hundreds of years. All because I have rediscovered my father's work, Alina said, and put the breathing mask part of the mini air tank to her face. Stacy leapt forward, but she was too late because Alina had taken a good deep breath. At the same moment she dropped the trigger and it was beeping loudly. For a split second Stacy was reminded of the hospital machines from her father's death a decade ago. Stacy saw she had no choice in the matter. She had to get away from this house with what really mattered. 5 minutes later, Stacy was far away from the burning ruins of the house while police and fire department vehicles went racing past her. She pulled her car off the road and walked around her car as she dialed her phone. Miss Oak, I have bad news. I have located the AR-1 tank and Alina Porter, but both of them were destroyed in a house rigged to blow up. I will give you the address of her hiding spot. Local fire department and police are already heading to the scene. Things are getting a little too hot for me to hang around, Stacy explained quickly and gave the woman on the other end the address. Thank you, Miss Walker. Perhaps if we are lucky we can recover the tank before the fire department finds it. It's more likely that it's been completely destroyed. It is truly a shame that today we have lost one of the greatest discoveries of all time, Miss Oak said, her voice without any emotion. Since I have failed to recover either target, I will forget about the other half of my payment. There may be some good news. There is a dentist that sexually abused Alina years ago, and let's just say she got her revenge on the good doctor. I will text you with the details when I submit my final report to you shortly, Stacy said as more sirens could be heard coming down the road. The resulting explosion had been heard for miles around. Stacy had no doubt the surrounding woods would catch on fire as well. As per our agreement, we will call you Miss Walker if your services are ever needed again, Miss Oak said, and hung up the phone. Miss Oak got up from her desk seat and pushed a button on her phone. The speed dial feature had called the number in a matter of seconds.
"Yes, madam," a male military-like voice said.
"Captain, the target is dead and most likelihood the AR-1 sample is lost. Send your men in and begin Project Phoenix," Miss Oak ordered and ended the call. A minute later her smartphone beeped and a detailed document came in with Miss Walker's report. Miss Oak had no intention of calling upon Miss Walker's services again unless she had no other choice. The woman had failed her. Miss Oak took her time in leaving her office after arranging for a team to head out to the bombed house and to the dentist's office. Then she calmly walked to the main lab. Justin Kinn and Jack Sneed were on their knees as several armed military guards stood over them. Both of the men were handcuffed with their hands behind their backs and gagged so they couldn't speak. Miss Oak smiled and turned to the door when the captain and the rest of his men escorting a group of people in white lab coats.
"Ladies and gentlemen, I won't bore you with the project details. You know the mission already and I bet you already know what this is," Miss Oak said and went over to the cabinet to unlock it. Miss Oak removed the mini air tank that held the reaction agent and grinned when she saw the handcuffed men struggle more as the guards held them down just by the shoulders.
"The reaction agent," a young male voice said, and Miss Oak saw it was the lead expert she had picked out.
"Captain, have the guards remove the prisoners' clothes. I want our new employees to see the full effects,"
Miss Oak ordered, and both handcuffed men stayed still as their shirts then pants were cut away by sharp knives. The most amusing thing Miss Oak saw next was Justin still wore white briefs like a little boy would wear while Jack seemed to prefer boxers.
"Captain, if you do the honor. We need our new test subjects able to give us daily stool and urine samples. A pair of baby boys is in order," Miss Oak said, handing the mini air tank over to the captain. Jack found an arm around his neck by one of the guards as the captain forced the air mask over his mouth. Jack held his breath, but took in a breath then another. Then it was Justin's turn and he didn't fight it. He did take shallower breaths and hoped he ended up as a toddler for doing so. Everyone watched as the two naked men changed. Soon they were teenagers bawling their eyes out and making pitiful moaning sounds through their gags. Then they got younger to become innocent-looking boys once more. Neither of them made any attempt to escape even when their handcuffs slipped off their wrists. Even after the gags fell out, the boys were focused on taking deep breaths. The process appeared to cause enough pain so they couldn't speak just yet. Jack started pissing on the discarded ruins of his clothes as he reached toddlerhood and Justin was holding his bladder, but he let loose when he turned into a baby. In the end, both of them were babies again. Jack was a little bit smaller than Justin and they started crying openly without shame. Miss Oak motioned for them to be taken away.
"Have your men clean them up and take care of the mess on the floor," Miss Oak ordered, then turned her attention back to the new group of experts that were to be her new team.
"Those two have failed their country not once, but twice. Betray my trust and their fates will be heaven compared to what I have in store for you. So welcome to your new lab and take special care of our new test subjects. You will find the animal subjects through that door," Miss Oak said, motioned her hands about and left the lab.
6 months later and on a pig farm, a man banged through a door of a barn. In one arm he held a long sharp knife and on his other side the shoulder of his arm was bleeding from a bullet wound. He ran for all he was worth through the open field. Stacy Walker came through the doorway with one arm sliced open with a deep gash. Her gun was in her hand. Through the bright sunlight and pain she aimed and fired. The child murderer she'd been hunting for a whole 2 weeks went down as the bullet passed through his leg. The shot was a terrible one to her normal shooting skill, but Stacy smiled and thought about the body of little Jenny she found only a minute ago. Her killer wouldn't escape this day. Stacy walked out to the field keeping her gun at the ready while fixing her belt over her other arm. She used her teeth to tighten it. Stacy saw the knife dropped in the deep furrow of the field, then the gasping man now on his back while holding his leg. He had fallen only yards away from the gas pump with a long hose for the tractor. He was in the same deep furrow as the dropped knife and looked more like a wild animal than a person.
"Well, Mrs. FBI agent,
time for you to call in for your backup," the killer said, holding his injured leg. Stacy remembered the badge hanging from her neck and thought what little good it had done her. A friend of hers in the FBI had asked for her help in tracking this monster down. "No. In fact, I am not with the FBI. This badge is a fake. I was asked to bring you in, but I think I have changed my mind now," Stacy said, seeing he was at her mercy. "I will tell you everything and I promise to confess. Just get me to a hospital," he said, appearing to be in great pain. "Bullets hurt a great deal and like what they show in the movie," Stacy thought. "Where are the other bodies?" Stacy asked coldly. "I gave them to the pigs. They eat anything and whatever is left I have spread all over this field," he said with a smile, knowing it would be impossible to recover all the bodies to ID them. Stacy fired a bullet between his legs and he screamed in sheer agony for a minute until the air in his lungs was gone. "That was for little Jenny," Stacy said, her eyes getting blurry from tears. "You crazy fucking bitch," he said, now holding himself. The blood was rushing out now, and judging from the smell, he had shitted himself as well. It was hard to tell with the smell of pigs on him. "This is for the other 22 little girls," Stacy said, picking up the knife he dropped, then going over to the pump, and she turned the pump on and laid it in the same furrow as the killer. The gas poured out, following the furrow in each direction. The gas stream went past him, soon he was laying in a stream of it. For good measure, Stacy doused him as well as he cursed and cussed her out. Stacy walked back toward the barn and looked back to see him struggling to get out of the furrow with the gasoline in it. Stacy tossed the knife down into the stream of gasoline, just making its way to her now. She didn't want the knife to be in easy reach of the killer. Stacy picked up a stick and, using her butane lighter, she managed to get a little flame on the other end of the stick. Stacy carefully lowered the stick, and before the flame could touch the stream of gas, it caught it on fire. Stacy tossed the stick in the sudden flames and she backed away to the side of the barn just in case the pump blew. She made sure to keep the killer in her sight the entire time. At first his screams were lost in the echoes of the exploding pump, then Stacy felt the heat wave pass over her. The ground felt like it shuddered at the same time, and Stacy forgot about the underground tank. The fireball was amazing, and when Stacy's eyes could focus again, she saw the killer in the field moved no more. Stacy thought she saw something else out on the field, but it was gone in the next second. Stacy did the same for the barn and decided that Jenny deserved a Viking funeral. Stacy couldn't stand the thought of her parents seeing her dead body with her throat cut like that. Best they remembered their daughter alive and happy. Stacy soaked the barn and set some straw on fire next. As Stacy got into her car, she could hear the pigs squealing within the barn as the flames leapt up. It would be a long time before she could eat bacon again. Stacy was driving down the driveway as the barn went up in flames next, and Stacy called Alex on her phone. Their conversations in the past 6 months had been very short and business only. "Stacy, are you okay? I'm getting police radio calls and 9-1-1 calls about a bomb in your area," Alex said as he sounded a little scared for her. "Just my arm. I'm coming to the ranch. Get your medical kit ready. Your rag doll needs stitches again," Stacy said, and hung up the phone, then tapped in the address. She knew the way by heart, but it was best she didn't delay in getting there. Stacy drove fast and hard until she pulled into a ranch with a sign over the driveway. "Unsung Heroes Ranch," Stacy said with a grin, since she hadn't seen the place in over half of a year now. Alex was there with his rifle over one shoulder and a medical kit in his lap as he sat on the steps of the ranch house. He stood up as Stacy pulled up and she got out of the car slowly. "Mind if we do this out here? I don't need to bleed all over your living room," Stacy said, kicking her door shut and calmly walking over to Alex to sit next to him. "Whatever you want, honey," Alex said, and opened his medical kit and went to work. Stacy was getting her stitches when the door opened and a little girl about 6 years old came out with a very large dog at her side. Stacy smiled because she knew them both. "Hello, Alina and Brute. Stacy said, seeing that Alina was barefoot wearing shorts with a shirt with a Department of Justice logo on it. The words above the logo read Federal Witness Protection Program, while the words below said You Don't Know Me. The shirt looked wear-worn and old now. I'm Abby now. Isn't that right, Daddy? Abby said, looking at Alex, who shifted a little if embarrassed. Lord, please help us. Alex is a father figure now. Stacy said, relaxed more as Alex now applied the bandage. Excuse me while I put this up. Alex said as he limped back inside with the medical kit and his rifle. Nowadays she could hardly tell he even had a limp. So Abby, it's been 6 months since I seen you last. Been busy? Stacy asked, patting the empty space next to her. Oh yeah. Alex showed me a few tricks on his computers. I have learned how to shoot and I know how to fix all the motion sensors all around the ranch. Oh, and my front teeth fell out. Daddy has been teasing me he is going to leave quarters under my pillows. Abby said, grinning, showing off the space where her front teeth had been. Not to mention skinny dipping in the creek and insisting I was now her personal doctor. I can barely get her off the ranch just for a visit to the store. Alex said, coming back out and making Abby giggle. She gets the smallest sniffle and turns into a baby. I swear she forces me to wait on her hand and foot for days on. Alex said in a mocking tone. I do not. Abby said and gave him a dirty look. When she turned back to look at Stacy, her face fell a little. Stacy had been caught up in the moment. Her thoughts returned to the barn for just a moment. Stacy, you are crying. Abby said in a timid tone, and Brutus's head went up in an alert way as Stacy sniffled back a cry and wiped her face dry. It's nothing. Just the case I was working on. Mind if I crash here a month? I will take the far room so I don't wake you up when the nightmares start. Stacy asked, feeling like she was coming home after a very long trip. Don't be silly. The master bedroom is our room. Alex answered. Abby got up from her seat and carefully sat in Stacy's lap. Stacy held her and remembered the day she carried the nearly naked child from the house. She put Alina in the back seat and told her to stay down until they were far away. By lunchtime, she dropped her off at Alex's ranch and told him she wouldn't return for at least half a year, just in case the company Vanguard would watch her for the next few weeks. Alex took some convincing, and at first, since he was against the idea. Now it appeared he had a partner in crime when it came to computer hacking and becoming his sidekick. I think you two should get married. Then we can be a family. Abby said and gave them both her most innocent smile, if she was truly just a little girl. Not a bad idea. Alex said and sat next to Stacy to put his arm around her shoulder. I think I do need some time off. I saw something strange when the gas pump exploded. I won't tell you the full story now. There was a second when I could have sworn I saw a field full of little girls when the killer died. My dad was there as well, wearing his police uniform. Then, like a mirage, they all disappeared. Of course, it was just my mind playing tricks on me. Stacy confessed and liked the idea of having a wedding ring on her finger. Who knows? You will always be my avenging angel. Alex said with a smile as he looked at her. She looked dead tired, bloody, and there was even a slight smell of pig stink on her, but she was still beautiful. I will sleep better tonight, and I will pray every night that you come home to me. Abby said with a happy tone. She finally found a family just as smart as herself and understanding. Abby was already making plans to be as good or better than her mother to be. Amen. Alex said, and everyone smiled. End of part 01.